Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Hour number two, Monday, February 22nd, 2021, 16 minutes past the hour. Don't forget mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp follows this show today from 9:10 a.m. till 10:10 a.m. until 11 a.m. And then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims today, 4:15 till 5 p.m. And the Mike Wilson Show, 5:15 until 6 p.m. So that's how the rest of the day goes. Well, if you're wondering, we finally found out the address for Mary's Amish Market, and apparently a request has now been put into Google to change her address so people know where she is. 12813 County Road 65. That is the correct address, not the one showing on Google. 12813 County Road 265. So there you are. We were having some interesting conversations as we went to break there. If you have anything to say or got the busy signal, give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. We're talking about Buckeyes and no-bake cookies and why they're so expensive in the stores and what's that all about. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Just wanted to remind everybody on Mike's show tonight, we'll be talking about all things George Washington.
Now, this is interesting because this is a throwback to last week's President's Day. Now, what are some of the interesting things we're going to learn about George Washington?
Well, I think probably the most interesting thing that we're going to learn tonight is his birthday really wasn't the 22nd of February.
Oh, really?
He was technically born on the 11th of February. However, the British Empire decided that they would switch to the Gregorian calendar a number of years later, which moved his birthday from the 11th to the 22nd.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of an interesting fact. And I don't want to give too much away, but a little teaser. He really did not have wooden teeth. And we'll talk about what those teeth were made out of. And he really didn't chop down that cherry tree.
Well, you know, this is interesting, Fred, and 'cause I'm sure we'll get a lot of facts today coming up on Mike's show from 5:10 to 6 p.m. when you're on with him talking about George Washington. But just as a historian yourself, because of these facts, this is what I've always wondered about George Washington. Because every year on President's Day, we get these lists of the greatest presidents. Mm-hmm. And the things we most associate him with, whether or not they're funny or whatever they are, his birthday, chopping down the cherry tree, being a good general, all of these things, even the teeth, which goes along with him, a lot of it is not exactly correct. And why do you think he always, aside from being first, I guess, what is his legacy that always puts him, no matter who's doing it, in the top five and sometimes at number one?
Well, I think there's a number of things that probably in people's minds put him in that top spot. But I think really we have to credit his success during the American Revolution and leading a group of hodgepodge Americans who were really farmers turned militia in defeating the British Army, which was one of the strongest, well, probably if not the strongest army in the world at that time. So I think everything that he did as president was secondary to what he did as our first commander-in-chief. And really, commander-in-chief, when he was commander-in-chief, it wasn't because he was president. He was commander-in-chief long before that. So.
You know what's always fascinating to me about George Washington? There are two things, and we'll cover them just here really quick. But two things that are fascinating to me is all the presidents that came after him, including his vice president, John Adams, and all the people that were involved in coming up with the Constitution, namely John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Madison and Ben Franklin and people of the... These were not soldiers. These were statesmen. And he is in this group, and I can't think of any other soldier at all who ever really went on to do what George Washington did in the political realm. So I always wondered, being surrounded by all these people, how much input did George Washington really have on the Constitution? How much did he really have in forming the infrastructure of this country that we still talk about today, other than fighting the battle?
Well, really not too much, because he wasn't a member of the Continental Congress. Actually, the Continental Congress was under the direction of John Hancock. So really, as far as the Constitution is concerned and the delegates to the Continental Congress, he didn't have that much to do with it.
Well, and what's fascinating, now, the only thing I know about him and the Constitution was, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he in pretty close contact with Madison, and those two both felt that if the Bill of Rights was not added, it would not get passed.
You're correct. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that Washington did believe that.
Right, and you have to throw Alexander Hamilton in there as well, because he was part of that trio or four people that had a lot of influence on that.
You're
absolutely correct.
Yeah, and the other thing about George Washington, really quick here, that I find fascinating about him is his death. He did not, even for that time, you know, I think Adams lived to be 90, Jefferson was in his 70s, Madison similarly. Washington, even for those days, did not live to an old age and had a pretty awful ending from what I hear.
Oh, he did, and referring back to his teeth, most of his life he had horrible, horrible, horrible teeth, what teeth he had, and he had terrible problems with oral disease. So, he was a 6'2" tall man, weighed a couple hundred pounds, and strong for his stature, but because of the problems that he had with his teeth, it affected his health in general throughout his entire life. And he did die fairly young. I think he was 64, 65 years old when he passed away. So,
and I don't think a rich man.
Well, he had a lot of property. He had over 8,000 acres, but not a lot of actual cash money. But if you translate those acreages into today's dollars, he would be considered rich today.
You know what's interesting? I always think about living in these times, because I wonder, once the presidency got turned over to people like Adams and Jefferson and Madison, because I think he was still around for some of this, when he was no longer president, that period before, up at when he left the White House till he died, mm-hmm. It didn't seem like people were really consulting him. It didn't seem like he was a big deal in that time.
No, not really. Not really. Once he retired to Mount Vernon and became a gentleman farmer again, that was really about the end of his political connections.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So 5:10 today with Mike Wilson, we'll learn all about George Washington.
Well, hopefully we can give people some insight into the man and his character that we haven't before. And the only person that, to go back to what you said earlier, the only one that I can probably think of that would come close to him would be Eisenhower.
Well, yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be at the top of the list, because certainly winning the war is important to the importance of this country. But what's odd to me is just that he is put up there, because Abe Lincoln is obviously policy and putting his life on the line for what he believed in at that time, and surviving a horrible war that almost tore the country apart, and all those other people like Roosevelt who end up there, they're all policy people. It seems like the only person who's ever at the top of the list who has nothing to do with the shaping of this country policy-wise, except for suggesting that the Bill of Rights should be in there, and he didn't do that alone,
right,
is Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but and a lot of it, I think, goes back to the fact that he was the first, and I think that's where a lot of people place that on him. He kind of set the direction that the presidency would have. not serving more than two terms. That kind of went on until Franklin Roosevelt ran into it with World War II. So I think that's probably just one of the things in people's mind that stand out. And, you know, quite frankly, Scott, history isn't taught in schools today, and as people of my age and even, you know, younger people in their 40s and 50s when they were still teaching history, that's really, I think, one of the things that put Washington in the forefront in most people's minds. But today's students and today's kids just aren't being taught those things.
You know, the one thing that is so interesting to me about that period of history, the formation of this country, is that George Washington, and I'm not saying he shouldn't, but he does get a lot of credit, and he is remembered well, and he's on the dollar bill and all these things. But then somebody who I really do believe played such a huge part in this country, but because of his age, is not remembered as well as Ben Franklin.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He was not only a politician, but he was an inventor and had a wonderful mind, you know. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And I think there are writings, and I don't want to go on record with this, but I think Ben Franklin and other people of the time had writings that they felt he should be president, they felt he should run for that, they felt he should be involved, but because of his age, that's why he didn't.
Well, then he had no interest. He really had no interest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he had his other he had other things going on in his life at that time.
He did. He actually did. But hopefully people will learn a little something from these things that we try to bring you between Glenn's show and Mike's show. So
absolutely. So 5:10 today, Mike Wilson Show, all about George Washington with Fred Malone. Thanks, Fred.
Hey, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
There you go. That's that's important because George Washington is one of these larger-than-life figures. I mean, you see him every day of your life when you think about it. Well, if you see a dollar bill every day of your life, you see George Washington. But yet, he is an interesting figure if you get past all the legend and the myth, you know, the teeth, which is always brought up in a funny way, I think, to kind of interest kids, and the chopping down the cherry tree, and all these things that go into making up George Washington. I don't know really what kind of a guy he was. And that's what always interests me with a lot of these larger-than-life figures. I mean, we talk about Jefferson, and we talk about Adams, and we talk about Madison, and even Lincoln a little later down the road. But I don't know what kind of people they were. You know, what you kind of get the idea of what they felt about policy, but, you know, a lot of these people did not think the Bill of Rights was a good idea. And to be honest with you, a question that should have to be asked is, did George Washington believe in the Bill of Rights? He thought it needed to be in there, but really his reasoning in his letters is because he thought the Constitution couldn't be passed without it. I don't know if Washington believed in it. He just thought that it couldn't be done if it wasn't in there. He thought all this work would have just went by the wayside because it would not have been voted in as the law of this country's land if the Bill of Rights was not put in. Now, did he believe in the Bill of Rights? I don't know. That's a fascinating question. I don't know if he did or not. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? Are you there, caller? Hello? Caller? Well, if that's you, give us a buzz back. If that was you, give us a call back. And if anybody else has anything to say, I think this is an interesting subject. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will discuss it. It's just George Washington. Nobody doesn't know the name. Nobody doesn't know he was the first president. But, you know, what did he really believe? What did he really think? That I don't know. I would love to know that. I would love to know what his real thoughts were on some of these things. I think sometimes they're a little different from what we think. Go ahead, caller.
If you like to read, and I think you do, one of the great books is Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. It's a book that was based on the play was based on. And it starts out with his life in Nevis, St. Kitts, where he was born. And he could never be president because he was not natural born. And his arch enemy was Aaron Burr, and who ended his life. But it goes into great detail of what he did, and nobody, if anybody should have been president, it should have been Hamilton, from what he did with, you know, helping form the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and set up our banking system. He was a genius, and he died at 49, I think.
Well, he got involved in that poor duel.
Well, yeah, he wanted to die. That was the thing. He wanted to die, and they found the bullet that he fired up in a tree. So he never fired at Aaron Burr.
Yeah, but
his son died the same way.
Yeah, but do you think that was because he couldn't shoot anybody, or do you think, because there are a lot of ways to die, and having your arch enemy kill you, and Aaron Burr could have missed.
Well, I think it was a vendetta also, because Aaron Burr was trying to get him out of politics. And he thought by doing that, then he could ruin Aaron Burr also.
I don't know if it worked that way.
Aaron Burr was done after that.
Well, he was, in a way, but I don't know if Aaron Burr felt that way. I think he felt his opinions were still valid, I think.
Well, but he was totally against all of that. I think he was jealous, basically. If you read the book, you kind of get that inference that he was jealous of Hamilton, because Hamilton was such an intelligent individual, you know, being able to set up a banking system and everything, and... Burr was a politician, and that was basically what he was, a politician. He wanted to be president.
You know, in the end, though, right, and I think you might be right, it might have all been based in jealousy, but what, when Alexander Hamilton was finally gone and dead, mm-hmm. what did it do for Aaron Burr? I mean, what did erasing him, which he thought was great, do?
Well, he left the country for a while. Because they wanted to lynch you. You have to read the book.
It's
very, very interesting.
Well, what I find, I just, that's a funny thing, because that's a dichotomy we see a lot in life, is you get somebody mm-hmm. who hates somebody else for whatever reason, and then when that person, they finally get rid of them, they finally accomplish, oh man, what I wanted to accomplish, people end mm-hmm. up hating them, because the problem is, people did like that person, and that's probably why they hated him in the first place. People don't think things through. They don't think that, hey, you know, people
true.
Like them. Yeah,
that's
it's
true. But that's, if you love to read, that's a very interesting book.
What's the book name? What's the name again?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. No, just Hamilton.
By Ron Chernow. Ron Chernow. Chernow.
I'll do that. Hey, thank you.
It's very interesting.
I'll take a look into that.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss anything on the table. History a little bit here this morning, which is a lot of fun. Hamilton, now there's another figure in the history of the United States that is kind of right there with Ben Franklin, did not become president because, well, different reasons for both guys, but were very, very, very important to the fabric of this country, but don't get remembered necessarily in that way because they weren't president. You know, I some of the people who have been president, I'm not necessarily sure are as important as people who lived in their time who weren't president. I think sometimes we should think about that. That really should be examined more. Just because really president's a popularity contest. Even though it's the Electoral College that chooses the president, I mean, you got to win more states. So it really is a popularity contest. And
that's how we choose it. I don't think it necessarily means we get the best people to do these jobs. But people who are appointed to positions and do great things, like the president's cabinet, now those people are not chosen by popularity. They're appointed to those positions. And the stuff that they do sometimes is amazing, maybe far better than what the president did. So that's something to think about. But 5:15 to 6 p.m. today, the Mike Wilson Show with Fred Malone, talking all about George Washington. Again, the education through this station continues. 740-383-9944. Now, let's see here. Oh, well, we were talking a little bit about food before we went to history there. And food is... Well, no-bake cookies and Buckeyes in general is what we were talking about. Why? I mean, stores have started to sell them. Now, years ago, it was hard to find a no-bake cookie or a Buckeye in a store. You couldn't buy those in stores. But now they've started to make them. But when you really think of what they are, you know, the ingredients, oatmeal, chocolate, sugar, peanut butter, these are not very complicated, high-dollar items. So why is the price so large, and why do people screw them up so badly? What is it about no-bake cookies and Buckeyes that can be screwed up so badly? Because if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Please make me some Buckeyes. Please make me some no-bake cookies, because I can't do it, or I have messed it up. Why are those cookies so complicated, and are there any tips for making those cookies that makes life easier on the person doing it? I don't know if there is or not. I am not a baker by trade. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any reason on why the markup on these items is so high in the store, or why these items are so easy to screw up, the no-bake cookies and the Buckeyes, and is there a tip to do it right? Is there something we all miss? To me, it's kind of like the deviled egg, and I've brought this up a million times. I just cannot do the deviled egg because I will boil the eggs, and I can do that just fine, and I can get the shell off the egg, but in the process of getting the shell off the egg, I destroy the inside, the white part of the egg that you need to put the yellow stuff, the yolk mixture, back in. You know, you take the yolk out, and you take some mustard, and you take some Miracle Whip, and you whip that all up into a very nice mixture, and I can do that, but the problem is I've already destroyed the membrane, I guess I would say, to the egg. That little white, it's not a shell, I guess it's just the white part of the egg that's right inside the shell, because when I'm trying to break the shell, it ruins them. And I have tried all these things, like running the eggs under cold water and letting them sit and cool. And it's just when I crack it, everything falls apart. Now, maybe I'm cracking it too hard. I think some things, like the no-bake cookies and the Buckeyes, you're just destined to screw up. And have you ever noticed when you go to a potluck, it almost seems like the same people make the deviled eggs every year? I think because they're so easy to screw up. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
You're using too fresh of egg.
So it's got to be an old egg.
It has to be, yeah. Use older eggs, and after you boil them and you cool them off in the cold water, then they'll peel real easy. But if you try to use fresh eggs, the peel won't come off. So you need an older egg.
Now, how do you... Is it the expiration date?
Yeah. Basically, I'll buy a carton of eggs when I know I'm going to be making them. And I'll keep them for a month. and then boil them. But it's the real fresh eggs you don't want to use.
I I've tried the cold water thing, and I've tried the letting them cool thing, and still, when you go to pick that shell off, because that shell does just not break clean.
Right, because the eggs are too fresh.
So, I wonder what the difference is between a fresh egg and an older egg that causes the shell to come off easier.
That I don't know, but it's seriously, if you use an older egg, then the shell will peel right off.
You know, I have a question about the deviled egg, because I've noticed this, because deviled eggs are a strange thing, because they're usually there at almost any potluck that I go to or any family dinner.
Uh-huh.
And over the holidays, what I noticed is that some people's deviled eggs, the yolk mixture tastes sweet, and then some people's, it tastes just more like yolk. And is that just the Miracle Whip missing? It has to be the Miracle Whip.
Yeah, because I don't use Miracle Whip. I use mayonnaise, Hellman's mayonnaise. And then I use French's mustard. Use the mayonnaise, use the mustard. I will, because I put olives, I'll cut an olive and stick it on the top and then put paprika. But I'll also put in either a teaspoon of vinegar or a teaspoon of the juice the olives are in.
You know, I just tend to like the sweeter tasting ones. Now, not sweet. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to put sugar in them.
Uh-huh.
But I think that Miracle Whip just sweetens them up enough to where it kind of cuts the edge off the dullness taste.
I'm just not a Miracle Whip person.
Right, and I think that's the tough...
Which is fine.
Right.
But I have to make them for my grandson.
Right,
the holidays.
And that's the tough thing when you're cooking for big groups like that, especially with something like deviled eggs. There are different ways to do them, and I don't know too many foods that where it completely changes the taste. But deviled eggs is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It depends on what you add to it.
So old eggs.
But use older eggs, not the real fresh eggs. You'll be fine.
I'll see you different. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, there's a tip with the deviled eggs. Use the older eggs. That will help you as you try to get that shell off from the white part of the egg. Does anybody else do their deviled eggs differently, taking the shell off, or that little mixture, that little yolk mixture? I think some people do it with Miracle Whip. Some people do it with probably just the Hellman's or the regular mayonnaise. Does anybody else do it a different way? Let us know. 740-383-9944. I think this appears on a lot of people's dinner tables. Or any helpful hints when it comes to no-bake cookies or Buckeyes. Because I don't necessarily think people want to be paying what they pay in the store for these items. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You're talking about Buckeyes, and there's something that's always been a mystery to me. Think about a Reese cup and a Buckeye and the main ingredients, but they don't taste the same. They taste totally different than each other.
Well, you're right. It's chocolate and it's peanut butter, but do we really know what's in a Reese cup?
Not really. They say it's chocolate and peanut butter, but I've always wondered why they don't taste the same.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Do you make Buckeyes?
No, I've never have, but I remember I eat them fresh every Christmas. People will make them, and they are my favorite candy, but that's the only time I eat them is at Christmas.
Now, have you ever went into the store and paid the $8 to $10 to get the 10 Buckeyes?
No.
I don't know. The prices on those are just astronomical. I cannot figure that out.
The no-bake cookies at King Saver and Marion are pretty good sometimes.
Right. Now, do they have a decent price over there?
I think they're maybe $4 or $5 for a dozen, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things, too, that is very hard to make. And for some reason, now the stores have started to sell them, but they mark them up. You know, pies you can get for $3.99, and donuts you can get for $7 for a dozen. And I'm guessing the ingredients in donuts and pies probably cost more than the ingredients for no-bake cookies and Buckeyes.
Well, I don't, pie, I think it would be, and donuts are mostly yeast and flour for the crust. Yeah, but no bakes and Buckeyes, maybe it's just the labor involved in making them.
It
it's
must
kind
be.
Of more handmade.
Well, it must be, because, you know, chocolate is not very expensive, and, you know, you can get that anywhere now very cheap. And peanut butter, certainly now, and I think a lot of people buy the generic peanut butter, and it's maybe, you know, $2, and you don't use a whole lot of it. I mean, it's, I don't know why those things are so expensive.
Because they know people will buy it, I guess.
They, and that's it. You know what? If people buy it, they'll keep doing it, and that's the difference. So I guess maybe it is just all about labor intensive.
Yep, they got us hooked on them, and they know that we'll pay the price.
They know we'll pay the price. Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, have a good day.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are always open. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so call back in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Talking about deviled eggs, no-bake cookies, Buckeyes, all kinds of things. What are the secrets here? Why do we pay so much for this stuff? It's a mystery to some, interesting to others. 740-383-9944. But I there are just staples to these potlucks and family dinners, and deviled eggs, and really Buckeyes, as the caller just said. You know, you go to these holiday parties, and the Buckeyes, 9 times out of 10, are usually right there. And that's where you can get your fix on the Buckeyes, because people do not want to go to the store and pay a ton of money. Now, I'll tell you with the Buckeyes, and I don't know if it's the same with the no-bake cookies, but I've noticed with the Buckeyes that a lot of times they'll have to go to markdown before people will buy them. They will not pay that gigantic price. They will wait for the price to come down a bit before they go in that direction. But again, if anybody has any cooking tips when it comes to deviled eggs or no-bake cookies or Buckeyes, or do you know why Reese cups taste differently than Buckeyes when they're essentially made up of the same ingredients, as our caller asked? Do we know the difference there? What's the difference between a Reese cup and a Buckeye, ingredient-wise? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz on that or anything else that's on your mind this morning. Now, over the weekend, I may have seen this on social media, or maybe it was just on the internet, but I think it was the recipe for a Frosty at Wendy's. And, you know, I've always thought that a Frosty was a malt, because it's certainly not a chocolate shake. It definitely has more of a malted taste. But the recipe that I saw about how to make a Frosty, and I'm trying to remember now, and it's not coming to me, the ingredients are kind of strange. They're not necessarily what you think they would be. It's not a malt, really. It's more of something else. And there's an ingredient in there that you would never think would be inside a Frosty. Now, I don't know if this is just so you can make it at home, or I don't know. And I'll tell you, pizza's a big one, too, because a lot of people will make homemade pizza. Now, this has, though, I think, diminished as more pizza places have come on the market. Have you ever wondered why we have so many pizza places? We have pizza places out the yin-yang in Marion. And then there are all these pizza places in surrounding counties that people like to go to, in surrounding villages, Caledonia, Bucyrus, Prospect. Everybody's got a pizza place.
And, you know, essentially we're talking about the same ingredients here, but there's something different about the taste, something different about the way they cook them. There's always something different. Does anybody, we've done this before, but, we get new listeners all the time. Does anybody have a favorite pizza place and why? As I said last weekend, I went to Baker's Pizza over in Bucyrus for the first time, and I found that to be very good pizza, and I can understand why they have a line over at Baker's to eat in there. But then I got to thinking, I wonder if that's because it's one of the few pizza places in Bucyrus, or because it's drawing people from outside of Bucyrus. I don't know which it is. Could be both. Now, in Marion, I cannot think of a pizza place that has that type of appeal. We have some very popular pizza places here in Marion, but I don't know of any that kind of operate like Baker's does in Bucyrus, where there's a line. Now, that could be because a lot of them are delivery. I think most of the pizza places in Marion are based in delivery. We used to have the Pizza Hut where you could sit down and eat, but that's no longer here. And most of our pizza places don't have a lobby. Now, I think East of Chicago still has a lobby. And I think that, who else has a lobby? I don't know. Not too many of them. Not too many of them have places where you could go and sit down. Now, Pizza Chef years ago had a lobby, but places like Domino's and Papa John's and Pizza Hut now, they might have a few tables and chairs inside the door, but they really don't, they're not set up for like Baker's. They're not set up for a big crowd of people. So maybe people like to take their pizzas home and eat. Have you ever thought what it is? Why do people like to take certain foods home and other foods not? And why are certain foods delivered and some are not? Go ahead, caller.
We were talking about history. There's another book that you can read called The Thousand Year Leap. And it's about the origination of the Constitution.
Now, what's the name of it again?
And it is 5,000 year leap. 5 million year leap. 5 million year leap. And it's all about the how the Constitution was set up with the three branches of government, the three-headed eagle. So we didn't have a tyranny, or we didn't have a wimpy government. But it's very interesting also. It's written by Cleon Skolson, S-K-O-L-S-O-N.
When you read these books and look back on the history of this country, here we are in February, where President's Day and a lot of presidents' birthdays are. What is the sense you get of this country?
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, but isn't that weird?
As much back then as they are now.
Yeah, but isn't it weird that in over 200 years now that we are not adapting to many things? Don't you think anything adapts 200 years later?
No, the theory of insanity. Doing the same thing over again, hoping for a different result.
Well, so that is the funny...
Keep repeating history and nothing changes.
Well, I'm just trying to think of any government in the world, any other government in the world, that is so beholden to exactly how it was written when it started. I don't know of any. I think others have changed many things as time has went on.
Yes,
and I don't know why we here are like that.
Just because we are.
I mean, that's always it's the first argument. Anytime something happens, people say...
You remember back during the old time, they had the Whig Party. Well... They needed more than one party, so then the Federalist Party was brought to be. And that started the infighting then, that nobody could agree on anything. And that's why the government was moved from Philadelphia to Washington, because Philadelphia was corrupt.
Well, that might still be the case.
Well, yeah. But there's a lot of history there. 5 Million Year Leap, written by Cleon Scholson.
I'll have to look into that.
That's another very good book. Very good book.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Got about 6 minutes left in the program today, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to give me a buzz about any of the food topics we've talked about this morning, pizza, deviled eggs, no-bake cookies, Buckeyes, or also history. We've talked about history this morning. Also, don't forget mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. this morning. Then we've got Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today, and the Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Fred Malone is the guest, and the topic will be George Washington. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on any of this? You know, I've often wondered that when it comes to this country, how we're so beholden to the way it was when we started. I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
You're talking about making deviled eggs. And
yes.
You can't get them to track.
Right.
There's a kit you can buy called Eggers or something like that, where you crack the eggs in this, I guess it's plastic, and you put it in the microwave, and it gives you just like a hard-boiled egg without the shell.
So you do what again? You crack the...
You crack the egg and put it in a little pod and then and put it together and put it in a microwave for a minute or two, and it comes out with a hard-boiled egg, and you slice it and make your deviled eggs.
Now, where does the shell go?
Well, you throw the shell away.
So you take
out... crack the egg and put it in this little pod. Enough for like six eggs to go in there, and then you put it together and put it in the microwave, and you come out with a deviled egg.
So you take a raw egg,
yep,
and you crack it.
You crack it and pour it in there. You see them advertised on TV. It's on that. See it on TV.
Okay, I see. So you crack the raw egg, and you dump
pour
the
in.
Contents.
Right.
Into
right.
Okay, and then you throw the eggshell away right then.
Right.
And then heating it up.
Microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it cooks it in there, and you come out with a hard-boiled egg.
Well, that's it. So you could just cut it right down the center and now, how do you get the yolk out for the deviled egg?
You don't. Well, you take it out just like you normally would. After slice the egg, because the white cooks around the yolk.
So it's
really neat.
So the yolk still comes out just like the little ball like it always does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting?
It's amazing.
I'll have to look into that.
You use fresh eggs or old. Yeah. I don't know whether Walmart's got it or not, but any place that's got those has advertised on TV things.
Right.
And they work.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, thank you.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. Well, now, how about that? Now, you take... I guess it goes to make sense because the white stuff around the egg is just, you know, normally what would cook around an egg anyway, so I think it just forms around the yolk, I would guess. But that's interesting. You just crack a raw egg, because that's easy to get rid of the shell. Crack a raw egg and dump it into one of these containers, throw the shell away, and then put it in the microwave. Kind of interesting. Well, we still have some time left here. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But on the subject of the country, I don't know why so many things have stayed the same since the beginning. You know, 200 and some odd years later, and every time somebody wants to change something, somebody jumps up and says, well, it's not the way it was in the beginning. It wasn't written that way. Well, the beginning was 200 and many years ago. Things change. You know, they didn't have cars back then. They didn't have television back then. They didn't have mass communication back then. They didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have men on the moon. They didn't have certainly the lobbying in government that we have now. A lot of things weren't going on back then. I think if these things had been there back then, the Constitution might look a little different. You know, we're talking a completely different time. We're talking 1776 here. We're looking way back.
you know, I don't think we would eat Thanksgiving dinner like the Pilgrims and the Native Americans did, or indigenous people, or however we say that now. So why would we keep everything the same government-wise? Now, some ideas are good, but some need to be tweaked, I think, as time goes on. But that's just my opinion. All right. We've got mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp, 10:10 till 11 a.m. Then we have Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Mike Wilson Show with Fred Malone, talking all about George Washington from 5:10 until 6 p.m. And that's the day here on WWGH Radio. You don't want to tune away for love nor money. And I'll be back tomorrow with a whole new show for another day. For this particular day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the two chuckful of nuts and nipples.